given the series that we're going through with teamwork, and this morning we're going to be talking about the compassion of God, I just want to encourage one or more people with a verse that was referenced in Isaiah 43, beginning chapter. It says, "Do not fear." And why do we not fear? Because I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. So we don't have to fear. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's the word of God. So we don't have to fear. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to fear. And I pray, Lord, as we go forward, you're making it so clear to us, Lord, that we don't have to fear because of you, not because of man's wisdom, not because of any individual's wisdom, but because of you and because we can call upon you. We do not have to fear. And we can call upon you and know that you will respond. Because that is who you are. That is your nature. You are a God of compassion. So we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it amazes me because we're going to talk about the compassion of God. And I'm going to hopefully cover some stuff here, maybe a little more quickly than I should, but I apologize in advance. I can't help myself sometimes. I look at scripture and I see the promises of God displayed throughout scripture time and time again in so many different ways. And it's like God is saying to us, well, okay, if you don't get it this way, let me try explaining it to you another way. Oh, you don't get it that way? Let me try explaining it to you another way. You don't get it that way? Well, let me demonstrate through my servant. Let me demonstrate through this prophet. Let me demonstrate through my son, Jesus. So God has made it abundantly clear. And, you know, one of the songs this morning that was sung was, open my eyes, blind eyes and deaf ears. And it's not talking physically, not physically. It's spiritually. And we're going to see when that prayer is offered up in faith, God, because of who he is, he has to answer that. That's his covenant promise. That's his desire. That's his desire. Doesn't the word say, if you ask anything according to my will, it will be given unto you? So if it's according to his will, and it's according to his will that, you know, our eyes are open as we read scripture and we understand it, and we can take hold of the truths and take hold of that we serve a God who is compassion, filled with compassion and desires to have that flow upon his church. And not to stop there. And this is basically the takeaway from this morning. We have the compassion of God offered to us. And then, doesn't stop there, we are to take that and exemplify that to others. That's the whole message. Thank you. So we recently went camping and, you look around, you see people, right? So we were up at Niagara Falls, beautiful. And I noticed how many people had dogs. And it was amazing to me how they responded to these dogs. Some people were literally, they were carrying a full-size dog. They were carrying the dog because it was very hot and the dog was overheated. Not a puppy, a full-size dog. Full-size. And, you know, I saw another one. It was a woman, and she was carrying a dog I guess it's a dog carrier. It looked like a baby carrier, but I'm going to say it's a dog carrier. But it was like, you know, treating the dog like a baby. I saw kids hugging dogs, kissing. And it was just like, it was a joy to see, you know, this relationship between the dog and the owner. And I thought about that because it's like, well, could you call that love, you know? And love is something, it's related to compassion. And when you look at love, when you look at compassion, when you look at mercy, these are all things that have to be demonstrated. They have to be carried out. It's an action. It's an action. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Like the compassion of God, it's an action. God acts in compassion, and we, as the church, are to act in compassion. So, because, you know, when you look at compassion, you could say it's a cousin to love, right? And the interesting thing is when because it's a hard word. I'm gonna give you a working definition of sympathy, empathy, and compassion. But you know, this isn't exhaustive. It's like, okay, now I have a complete understanding of it. It's a difficult concept to grasp, like love. It's difficult to grasp, right? So, because it's like, well, what is love? How would you define love? And you get all kinds of responses. And the same holds true with compassion. And you know, if you look at the word compassion, if you look it up and do a word search on it regarding the Bible, you'll see that it can appear from anywhere from like 39 times in the New American Standard to, the New Living Translation, up to 100 times in the New American Standard. So it's like, well, how can that be? Because it's the way it's interpreted in the when it's translated. But in the Greek, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the word for compassion. The New Testament writers used this Greek word for compassion. But if you go back before that, if you go back into classical Greek, the word doesn't even exist in classical Greek. So in other words, if you look up this Septuagint, if you do a word search in the Septuagint in the Greek for the word compassion, well, it's all Greek, right? So if you put compassion in for Septuagint translation, you're not going to come up with it. It's going to be zero. It doesn't even exist. So it's a difficult concept to grasp, but we're going to try to have a working understanding of it. And if you look in your notes, you'll see that it's defined as to have the bowels yearn, or figuratively, because it's not something physically in your bowels, so to speak, although it can be in a physical response. But to feel sympathy and to pity, to be moved with compassion. That's a little difficult to wrap our heads around. It was for me anyway. But when you look at it, you can at least get the understanding of this is something that's pretty deep, right? This compassion. Because the Bible talks a lot about the compassion of God, a lot. And you see it throughout all Scripture. So it's something that, you know, we want to pay attention to, right? So when you see, like, to help us understand this better, just quickly, like with sympathy, empathy, and compassion. So someone has, you have sympathy for someone, right? Sympathy is kind of like a, you know, you can process in your mind, I understand how this person feels, right? We can use an example of, say, they lose a loved one. Right, I can understand why they feel sorrow, they feel loss. I understand that. Okay, empathy goes a little bit further. This is in your notes. That I understand how the person feels, and I share their feeling because maybe I experienced something similar. Maybe it's not a prerequisite. A positive example of empathy is someone comes into the room and they're all excited and they're all happy and they share good news with you and you get excited too and you're happy. That's empathy. That's empathy, right? So it can be good. And then you have compassion, the way I see it is it's like it's a progression and it culminates in compassion. And the compassion part of it is it's the willingness to relieve the suffering. So I can have sympathy. I can understand how a person feels. I can have empathy. I can share how they feel. But if I stop there, I'm lacking compassion. And God doesn't stop there. God doesn't stop with understanding. God doesn't stop with sharing. God acts. He's a God of compassion, right? And you see in the scripture verse from Matthew 15 to 32, Jesus called to his disciples and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now 3 days and nothing to eat. And I'm unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. So if Jesus had sympathy only, he'd be like, oh yeah, I can understand. They haven't eaten in 3 days that they're hungry. I got it. That's sympathy. If he had empathy, he could say, well, you know, I haven't eaten in a while either and I'm hungry. I can understand and I'm sharing how they feel, okay? But he didn't stop there. He exercised compassion. He didn't say, well, you know, these guys, they should have planned better. They knew they were going to be with me for a few days, you know, so it's on them. And lesson learned, they know better for next time. No, he responded in action. So compassion involves action. Okay, so what did he do? In Matthew 15, 35 to 37, the following verses, he says, directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of broken pieces left. It's amazing. Just in that one verse, they all ate, and what was the result? They were all satisfied. And that's what compassion does. Compassion relieves the suffering. It's a response to suffering, and it relieves it. And that's what we see here. And don't miss this also. There was leftover. So what I see is as I was looking at this, I see when compassion goes forth, whether from the Lord or from an individual, there's a ripple effect. There was extra. And we're going to see that again. And as you read scripture and you see the compassion of God, you see that it has an effect on more than just the individuals who are the benefactors of the compassion. Right? So in keeping with the current theme of teamwork, okay, in order to be a good teammate, I have to be compassionate. And that means I have to act. Okay? So, you know, empathy, you know, sympathy, okay, good, I'll send you a sympathy card, that's nice, all right, perfectly fine. Empathy is good because I'm sharing your feelings, okay? But please know that if it stops at empathy, eventually the individual is going to be overwhelmed. Because we can only, if we're just empathetic, and the suffering is not addressed and relieved, it's going to wear you down. It's going to wear you down. So compassion is the remedy for that. Okay? So, and we see in Scripture that God responds to compassion to all who call upon him. And that was in one of the songs, right? So it's all. So, you know, the scripture verse that was read from 2 Chronicles during the worship, okay? What's that, the first word, if you remember the first word? If, my people cry out, if my people call on my name, right? God responds. And when you know, that crying out, it's like, again, there's that suffering, and God, it's like, he can't help himself. He has to respond to that because he's a loving father. He's compassionate. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that get you excited? Gets me excited. Because, you know, people may let me down. You know, people have let me down. Maybe someone's let you down. And maybe it's been intentional. Maybe it's been unintentional. Okay? But they still let you down. God never, never lets us down. Never. Right? So, in Matthew 20, it's in your notes, verses 30 to 34. Behold, there were two blind men sitting on the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. So they were giving him the title. They had faith. They knew who he was. And the crowd, showing a lack of compassion here, the crowd rebuked them, saying, be silent. They cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. That got Jesus' attention. That's what we're talking about. When we cry out to the Lord, he's a God of compassion. He will respond. Stopping, Jesus called to them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, let our eyes be opened. In verse 34, Jesus in pity touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. That word pity, you might want to circle it. That word pity is the same, it's the same Greek word that were used, it was translated compassion earlier. Okay. But here it's translated pity. So certainly pity is, you know, compassion again, it's a complex, you know, it's a complex word, okay? Because it's abstract in terms of trying to describe it, but it can be carried out physically, right? But certainly pity is wrapped up into compassion, right? A person who is moved with pity can respond in compassion, right? Your translation may say, Jesus, you know, it might be mercy, okay, compassion, pity. Or they were saying, Lord, deal kindly with us. But you see, it's an action. It's an action that we see, right? So we can be assured when we cry out to God, we can be assured that he'll answer. You know, I was gonna leave this out, but I said, I can't take this out. I have to share this example of compassion when Jesus was on the cross. And you think about it, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, physically suffering, you know, indescribably, he was demonstrating compassion. He wasn't all wrapped up in himself or even just focused on, you know, why he was on the cross. Certainly, that's he was thinking about those things. But the point that I would like to make at this point in Jesus' ministry, when he was on the cross, okay, moments away from death, okay, in the culmination of the whole reason he came, he was still, and of course, that's the greatest act of compassion, being on the cross. Yes, 100%. Yet he was still exuding compassion from the cross to individuals specifically. In John 19, 25 to 27, I'm sorry, in Luke 23, 41 to 43. It's not in your notes, but this is one of the thieves talking, and he says, that, you know, regarding why they are on the cross, we justly deserve to be here for receiving our due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. So he recognized Jesus as perfectly obedient to the Father's will. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What a response of compassion. Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth. Well, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is, and I couldn't take it out because this is such a beautiful, beautiful illustration of what we're talking about here this morning, about the God of compassion, that when an individual cries out to God in compassion, God answers. God answers. And not only does God answer the prayer, but he answers it exceedingly and abundantly, more than we could even imagine. It may not be in the way you imagine this prayer to be answered. "Lord, here's my prayer, and here's how I want you to answer it." It's like, "Lord, here's my prayer, and you answer it the best way, because you're God." So when this guy said, "Remember me in your kingdom," he got a lot more than he asked for, because not only was Jesus going to remember him in his kingdom, but he said, "Truly, I tell you, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. I'm going to get to see you. I'm going to be like next to you. I'm going to be seeing you. I'm going to be with you today." That's, wow, you know? And that's available to all of us. If you don't know Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's available. How precious is that? Because remember, there was a thief on the other side who didn't act in the same way. You know, he didn't cry out for the compassion of God. So did he get it? He didn't get it. Then if you look at John 19, 25 to 27, you see standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. And when Mary, here's the compassion, when Mary saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. So here's Jesus in excruciating pain, beyond all comprehension, exhausted, moments from death, thinking of his mother, thinking of the pain that she must be feeling, because he knows how much she loves him. And when you love someone and they're suffering, you suffer too, right? Jesus was focused on her suffering, and he responded to that. This is really what I'm trying to share with you this morning, is when we take hold of how compassionate God is, that just opens up the floodgates for us to want to in turn be compassionate to others. How could we not? How could we not? Right? So, and, you know, again, from the quote from Corrie ten Boom, right? "There's no panic in heaven. God always knows what to do. Always, always, right?" So, and, you know, let us remember, that's why it's good to call on the God of compassion for help, and maybe not try to figure it out and exhaust all other options and then call out on God. It's best to call out on him first. Right? So we see in Luke 7, 12 and 13, "As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and there was a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Don't weep.'" So again, compassion recognizes a need, and compassion responds to the other's needs. It's a response. It's an act. That's compassion. Okay? So you see the importance of sympathy, the distinction between having sympathy. He could have felt bad for the mother, maybe sent her a card. He could have felt empathy, you know. He experienced loss, his cousin, maybe other people as well, right? He wept when Lazarus, so he could have empathy with her. But he didn't stop there. He had compassion. He stopped right there, right? And going on, it says in Luke, same chapter 7, 14 and 15, he came up and touched the bier, and they bare his store, stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up, began to speak, and gave him to his mother. So compassion, it's recognizing, stopping, feeling, and acting, okay? Now, of course, none of us can raise the dead, but God, I tell you, God will provide opportunities for you, whatever gifts he has given you, whatever, to exercise compassion on others. So don't miss the opportunity, right? It goes on, we see again in Luke 17, 12 to 14. He entered a village and he was met by 10 leopards who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice saying, "Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So are you seeing the pattern here? People are crying out and Jesus is responding. When he saw them, so compassion sees the need, recognizes it, and then acts on it. When he saw him, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. So in your notes, if you haven't, you know, gotten it yet, it's God's nature to respond with compassion when his people cry out to him in faith, because that is who he is, okay? It's not our nature to respond in compassion, our old nature. It should be our new nature to respond in compassion. You know, last week, Pastor Ray talked about character, and character being the only thing you're going to take with you to heaven. So the way I would like to say it is, compassion can be a part of my character. In other words, as I experience, as I appreciate the compassion that God shows me, I take that compassion and I exercise it to others. And then that, as I do that, that becomes who I am. That's my character. It's not in my nature to do that. I don't like to be inconvenienced. Compassion calls for times when you're going to be inconvenienced, okay? So it's not my nature, but it can be my character. I can choose to demonstrate compassion. Right? So you see, with God, though, it's God's nature. So if you look at, it's in your notes, the Matthew 12, 20 to 21, quoting Isaiah in chapter 42, "A bruised reed he won't break and a smoldering wick he won't quench until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles," that's you and me, unless you're Jewish, okay? "But Gentiles, in his name, the Gentiles will hope." You know, if you want to understand who God is better, okay? If you want to understand the character of God better, if you want to understand the nature of God, you have to read the Old Testament. You got to read it, because you're going to see it throughout all the Old Testament scriptures. You're going to see the compassion of God. Some people say, "Oh, the Old Testament is the wrath of God, and the New Testament is the mercy of God, Old Covenant, New Covenant." No. You see the mercy and compassion of God throughout all of Scripture, all of Scripture. If you're not reading the Old Testament, you're missing out on that aspect of the character and nature of God. If you want to see you want to see the actions of Christ in compassion being carried out, then you would look at the New Testament. So when you look at the whole Bible, you get a complete picture of the compassionate God that we serve, right? So, you know, and just this passage here, it's really beautiful because they're bruised reed. I mean, a reed, it's just a very fragile, and it's you know, it's basically done. And it's like, not with God, not with God. There's no such thing as too far gone with God. There's no such thing with God saying, well, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste showing compassion to this individual because they're a bruised reed beyond repair. No. There's always hope crying out to the Lord, right? He will respond. Same thing. Isaiah's saying the same thing with the smoldering wick. You know, it's just about out. We got to get a new wick and, you know, do a little maintenance here with this oil lamp. It's like, no. That smoldering wick, there's life in it. As long as there's life in it, God takes it and he works it and he brings it back into a flame. Same with every single one of us. Every single one. There's no hopelessness, hopeless cause with God. A bruised reed he does not break. A smoldering wick he does not quench. That is compassion. So, and does it change in your notes? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How comforting is it to know that God doesn't change? The God who shows compassion to his people will continue to show compassion to his people. He does not change. The compassion of Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that comforting? Is that comforting? It's comforting to me. So, you know, and if you look at the life of Jesus, there's not one instance where Jesus turned, you know, he said, I would like to help you, but I'm on my way to go help someone else who needs more help than you. You know, you've had this condition, like say the woman who was bleeding, right? And he was on the way to raise someone from the dead. And Jesus didn't say, you know, you've had this 12 years. You know what? I'll be back in a week. Just be at this spot and I'll take care of you then. He could have, right? And what's another week? 12 years? You could wait one more week. No. Jesus, and this is, to me, this is just so beautiful. Every single time, without exception, throughout all of Scripture, when an individual cried out to God in need, God responded in compassion. And if God is the same, Jesus, God, yesterday, today, and forever, won't he do that today? Well, that kind of makes sense. That makes perfect sense. So that's what, okay, so it's it. It makes perfect sense, right? So God is consistent. And let us pray that we can become consistent in our relationship with God, right? As we cry out to him. So, you know, wrapping this up, I was gonna go through the whole chapter of Luke 15, because when you look at Luke 15, it has the parable of the prodigal son. But just to lay it out a little bit quickly, when you look at the parable of the prodigal son, it was preceded by the parable of the lost coin, which was preceded by the parable of the lost sheep. Okay, which was preceded by Jesus, when he told these parables, it was in a response. Because in the beginning of Luke chapter 15, It says in the first two verses, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. So you have the tax collectors and sinners. Is it all right if I put all of us in that group? Is that okay? Okay, so I'm going in that group. So tax collectors and sinners, what were they doing? Drawing near to him. The Pharisees and the scribes, in contrast, grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Thank God. That's a God of compassion. So we're seeing another principle here. We're seeing when we exercise compassion, what's the response? People are drawn to a person of compassion. People are drawn to a God of compassion. But you have to know, you have to know that he's a God of compassion, right? It begins with knowing it, okay? And then acting in faith. And then he goes on and it says in verse 3, so he told them this parable. So you see that this is a response to this gathering of tax collector sinners and the Pharisees, right? So he goes on to tell three parables. And each of these parables, they say the same thing, okay? The shepherd going out and seeking the lost sheep. The shepherd not, well, I got 99, that one, you know, and that one was kind of, you know, I think he was giving me a hard time anyway. We're better off without him. No. The shepherd went out and sought the one sheep. And when he found it, he brought it back. And it didn't stop there. Remember what we said, that compassion has a ripple effect. It didn't stop there. He called his friends and they rejoiced with him. Okay? Same thing with the widow. Same thing with the woman with the 10 silver coins. She seeks the coin. She finds the coin. And what does she do? She calls her friends in and they all rejoice. You seeing the pattern here? And then he finishes up with the parable of what we call the prodigal son. But next time you read this parable, think of it as the parable of the compassionate father. Because that's what it's really about. It's about the compassion of the father. And it, you know, if you think about this parable, right? I mean, I'm sure you've heard many, many sermons on the parable of the prodigal son, okay? There's so many different ways to approach this parable, right? But when you look at it, okay, comparable to compassionate father, because again, this is where Jesus was going with this teaching, right? The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, and God's response to that, God's compassionate response to that. That's what we're talking about this morning. God's compassionate response to you, to me. If we call out to him, if we cry out to him, okay? So with this, and I was thinking about this because the son who went away, right? We know the story. He showed disrespect to the father. He went away. He spent all he had. The famine came and now it was like he was in a bad state. And then it says, and then he came to himself and he thought about his father and the father's servants and what he had. And to me, you know, thinking about this compassion, what we're talking about this morning, I think about, you know, the son, because he grew up in the house. He started reflecting on his father. He started seeing his father more clearly as who he was. Not just focused on himself and what I can get from him. Give it to me now and I'm on my way. He started just looking at the father and thinking about how the father, the servants are treated better. I'll go back and I'll be treated 100 times better than I am now. So he reflected on the compassion of his father. And it says when he came to himself. So it was like an aha moment, right? But he had to be brought to that point to realize that. Otherwise, he never would have realized it. Because the father had another son who never came to realize the compassion of the father. So, you know, just for time's sake, you look at these two sons, just like the tax collectors and sinners with the Pharisees and the scribes, okay? Again, you're seeing these two groups over and over again. So you're seeing the two sons and you're seeing the compassionate father, and one son recognizes it and goes to him and pleads, cries out for mercy, recognizing that he's a sinner. The other son, not so much. And the other son talks about all that he had done, never disobeying, always working, which probably wasn't true, but in his mind it was. So you see, what we're talking about here is, how do we view God? So as we view God as a compassionate father, instead of focusing on things that, well, you know, why this and why that, when we can take hold of the truth that Scripture so clearly presents, that God is compassionate, all those other things take care of themselves. And we see in the parable, and it may not be physically, but it holds true in principle, that God will meet all of our needs exceedingly and abundantly according to the riches that are found in Christ Jesus. And you see in this story, the prodigal son, the compassionate father, that the father welcomed him back, and not as a slave, but as a son, restoring him with the robe, with the ring, with the slippers, because slaves didn't wear any of those things. So you see that God, you see it, God responds in compassion and gives more than we can even, more than we ask for and imagine. You see it again, and you see it throughout all of Scripture again and again. Is that encouraging?
Yes.
Right? Amen. So with that, I had to leave this, I had to put this verse in because in closing, if I have it here, which I don't think I do, it's Lamentations 3, it's in your notes, right? Suffering may endure for an evening, but his mercies are new, or you could say his compassions are new every morning. So you may be in a position where you could use some of the compassion of God, okay? And the good news is, it's available to cry out and ask him. So let's pray. Lord, thank you. You've just given us so much this morning, Lord. And just help us, Lord, open our eyes to see, Lord, your compassion. Open our ears, Lord, to hear what you want us to hear, Lord, so we can take this compassion and not hoard it for ourselves, Lord, or feel just to feel better about ourselves, but to take it and share it and echo it, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to be, as your church, to be compassionate, because you've been so compassionate to us. And we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.